say, I appreciate the choir every night being here. A little slack tonight. I know some are working, but I appreciate the choir being here. Turn in your hymnals to number 177. We're going to stand and sing a few verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness. 177. Everybody take a hymnal now and join us as we sing. Sing out now.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast made, Thou forever will be. Great
singing in heaven. Okay? Singing a cappella. Here we go on the last.
Pardon for sin and all peace and endurance. My only prayer to see and to God. Bring forth today and find hope for tomorrow. Blessings of life and
aren't you glad for His faithfulness? As I've said many times, it's nothing less than great, just like grace is nothing less than amazing. Amen? Good descriptive words for those attributes of God that only He possesses. If I have my best faithfulness day, it's probably just barely good. God never has less than great faithfulness. That's what makes Him God, and that's why we ought to honor Him and worship Him. Thank you for being here tonight. Good crowd tonight for Wednesday night. Good to have Miss White here with us. Appreciate her being here. And we love this dear lady, and we appreciate her coming. And all of you, just good to see you here. Of course, you know, this is home folks. All the visitors are in their own church where they belong. And we still got some more folks coming in, so that's good. God bless you for being here. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brian Crowley, would lead us in prayer.
Merciful Father, and wonderful Creator.
that tonight as well. There's a tenor sitting down here on the front row. All right, well, we're going to give the choir a chance to come down. Let's all stand and greet each other this evening.
Thank you so much for being here tonight. Again, thank you for being in the service. You may be seated. And one thing I just want to mention real quickly, and it's a few weeks off yet, but I want to go ahead and get it out there. We'll have it on the loop and everything. But on May the 20th, that's the Sunday after Mother's Day, we're going to have a baptism. We got some folks to baptize. And the Lord's been good to add on some here just in the last month. And we're tickled to death for that. Jimmy got saved last night. For those of you that may not have been here, Jimmy Peterson gave his heart to the Lord last night. What a joy that is. And then, of course, Miss Deanna and Chad. And I need to talk to Teresa Shannon. And, I mean, we got some folks who need to get baptized. And so we're going to do that on the 20th of May after the morning service. So that's a month away. So we've got plenty of time. But let you know, so in case you want to invite folks to come. On the Sunday after we get back from New York, my brother and his wife are getting baptized up in Monroe. And so we're going up there for that service. I can't miss it, and I'm going to get my mother. I was there the first time when it didn't take. So, and I'm telling you, this time is real. I'll tell you. I talked to him again today. It's just, you just tell the difference, and that's what happened. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm telling you. And it says, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Sometimes it might take a little longer for some things than others. But you can always tell the difference when a person gets saved because of the effort they put in for being, because they're grateful. They're not putting in the effort to get to heaven. They're putting in the effort because they're going. That makes a difference. And so anyway, but I did want to mention that. I thought about it, wrote it down here. I'll put it in my Bible, and Brother Brian will put it on the loop. It's still a month away, but we'll go ahead and get that up there so that you can invite people to come for the baptismal service on May the 20th. All right? All right, we're going to do things a little differently tonight. We've got three specials. That's not going to hurt anybody, is it? I don't think so. But Brother Tim's going to come and sing a song that Devin had requested. And she said something about it in the van. We went to the zoo today. Probably why she thought of it. I don't know. But no, we went. And I'll be honest with you. I've never heard of the song. Never heard of it. Tim knows it, though. So that's good. I'm glad somebody did. Some of you may know the song. What's it called again? Oh, okay. So you can kind of read along while he's singing it, I guess. Is that the way? So it's Sing Along with Tim. Amen. No, I don't think you're going to sing with him, but he's going to sing the song for us as a special. And I understand it's an old hymn. And so we're looking forward to hearing that from him.
I just showed Steve this song before. So you pay attention to the book. Don't pay attention to me or Steve. But I just wanted to point out some of these old songs we don't sing a lot and we're not familiar with them. But the message, sometimes I wonder what these people were thinking of when they wrote these songs. They were going through trouble. They were going many times in prison, many times going through stuff that we can't even understand. So I'm going to sing now. It's very poetic, too. And I haven't even seen the words to the last verse, to be honest with you. So I'm going to sing the first two verses. Pay attention to the chorus, because the second time, or maybe after I finish singing it, I'll have you sing the chorus with me. So listen to "And Can It Be." And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died He for me, who caused His pain for me, who Him to death pursued. Just where it goes into a chorus, and sing it with me. Amazing love, how can it be that my God should die for me? All right, now take your hymnals one more time and turn to 243. All right, do that again, Steve. They're still turning and standing. Sing out now.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight.
Sing the third as the last now.
I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free.
Good singing. Thank you.
Jim just basking in the song that he sang. He forgot to introduce the starlings. That's all right. This is not like I've never done that before. So come on, starling family. You're going to sing for us at this time. Then after we do that, brethren, we'll take care of the offering. Okay, sir.
I'm thankful for the sweet lesson to me and the thing I really needed. And I'm thankful for all that the Lord does for us. The message has really touched my heart on how we can beacon things out doesn't make the Lord have to be long for us. I know I do that a lot. And I know a lot of the trials and things that come into my life are my own fault. I'm not obedient to the Lord. And though that He's patient kind, it does for us as long as He keeps up with us. Thanks for the blessing.
Lately I've been through some testing and trials. Felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful
like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart was to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
I've battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along the Lord You were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross and I bear it no more, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart was a pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. Like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that good? Good family harmony right there. I like that. Praise the Lord. That's good. Good singing. And I am thankful, aren't you? I'm telling you, that's great. Come on, ushers. Let's take care of the offering this evening. You sure have given good this week, and we really appreciate it. And all that we take up for these offerings goes to the preacher, and we're thankful for how you've been so good to give. And I hope, oh, watch out there, fall on Joaquin, he'd be dead. All right. All right, we got everybody? All right, good. All right, let's pray together. Father, we love You, and what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. Father, we have enjoyed these five services. God, every service has spoken to our hearts, every message, every song, the choir. So grateful, God, for the choir being faithful to come every service and sing for the Lord. The special music, all the folks that put in the time and the practice and the effort, sing for the Lord Jesus and add to the services. And then we thank you for the preaching, Father. What a great joy it's been. We've got one more time to hear Brother Brian tonight as he expounds upon the Word of God. And I pray you'll give him a message that'll speak to us. Last night was wonderful. And we sure thank you for saving Brother Jimmy last night. And God, we pray that maybe there's someone tonight that needs the Lord. Father, sometimes we come to church and we want God to do something, but we don't know what He's going to do. But when He does it, we ought to be grateful for whatever He does. Whether He speaks to us or saves someone or convicts a heart or whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do here in the service tonight, we are open to it. We don't want to hinder Him. We're not on a program. We don't just give Him a few minutes at the end of the service. We want the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost to walk amongst us tonight and speak to us through the mighty Word of God. Now, Lord, again, I want to thank You and ask You to bless our folks for how good they've given this week and their love offerings. Lord, I appreciate it so very much. And I pray, God, You return it fourfold to them. And God, thank You again for the opportunity to give a portion of that which You've blessed us with. Bless the gift and the giver, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
To be honest with you, I wasn't sure. The quartet, come ahead.
Well, the reason we're doing this tonight, this is a song we've done. We weren't really on the schedule, I guess. But with all that's gone on this week during the services and how God has spoken to so many hearts, Christians as well as unsaved folk, sometimes we go through something like this, the meeting ends, and we just kind of flop right back where we were. We don't want to do that. We want to continue the spirit that God has placed here. And one of the things that happens at the time is that go back tomorrow, school, whatever it is, and something invariably, and Satan will try to do something pretty quickly to get all of us to feel like that this whole week that it was in vain. Now, we've got Brother Jason back there. So, obviously, the meeting was not in vain. Many times we feel that way. And sometimes, you know, as a pastor, preacher, as you're inviting people, you're handing out tracts, and nothing happened. The first thing the devil tells you is what a gigantic meeting. So, I know it's getting me. You know, we always think that a revival meeting means people getting saved. Once again, a lot of times it's just getting revived. I really believe God has done that for me of us. I include myself there. Tomorrow, Brother Brian and them have been whole. That's getting back in. We have to be very careful that we don't let the devil convince us all of this. It's not a way. That message last night about the brook. I'm going to enjoy that long time. We want to sing this song. We didn't have a lot of time to practice it. I don't know. Just Lord, maybe to sort of end the make up the part. This song that's called It's Not an Angel.
Jesus rules and reigns.
faithful service through the years. All the heartaches, all the burdens, all the tears. But do not be discouraged. There's a purpose, there's a plan. There's a reason for each trial. So trust the leading of His hand. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus rules and reigns. The heavens cheer us on. We do not walk alone. Our labor, our witness, our faith is not in vain. The heavens cheer us on. We do not walk alone. Our labor, our witness, our faith is not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain.
Just in vain. For 30 plus years, I've been praying for my brother, and he kept saying, it's in vain. Not going to happen. And it happened, didn't it? I'll tell you, that's the way God works. Sometimes He just wants to see just how far you're willing to go. And I appreciate all of you being faithful to be here. How many of you have been to every service? Hold up your hand. You've been to every service. See there? Look at there. Just about everybody. That's wonderful. I know some people during the week have to work jobs that go into the evening, or my son Andrew gets called out just about any time of the day or night sometime, and he hates not being here, but you know, just the way it is sometimes. We understand that. But I do appreciate all of you being faithful to come to the services. I appreciate Brother Brian Gurley and his family. We love them, and Brian's been a faithful man of God, and he has preached his heart out this week. I'm telling you, these messages are as real as they can be. And I tell you, they come from his heart, and I appreciate a man like that. I want to be around people like that. Well, the Bible says in the Old Testament that when those Old Testament saints would die, that they would be gathered to their people. Well, I'm glad I don't have to wait till I'm dead to get gathered around my people. Because guess what? These are my people. You're my people. You know, and I like being around God's people. And just like he said last night, there's a God in heaven that knows to put us in a place where we can be with God's people. And I'm telling you, I have had a ball. I love coming to church. I love the anticipation of what God is going to do. And when I come, I don't come wondering if. I come wondering when he's going to do whatever it is he wants to do. Like I said last night, when Brother Jimmy came forward, I didn't have any idea. I had no clue why I was coming. But God knew before the foundation of the world that last night would be the night that Jimmy Peterson would get saved. He already had it all planned out. How about that? And I asked him tonight, I said, how's it going? He says, going really good right now. I said, going good for me too. He said, yeah, 41 years, right? Well, almost 42 now. But it's been almost 24 hours for Brother Jimmy. Amen. That's kind of like that labor that, they labored all day and then one came late, got paid the same. I've been saved almost 42 years. Jimmy's not even been saved 48 hours. But we're going to the same heaven. Amen. Going to get the same penny at the end of the day. Hallelujah. His mansion's not going to be smaller than mine because he hadn't been saved as long. I think that's wonderful, don't you? Brother Brian, come on up here. Brian Gurley, the pastor of Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Peachland, North Carolina, the big city of Peachland. Amen. And he has been a joy to us. Brother Brian, I want you to know how much we appreciate you here. And we appreciate this, dear brother. We're going to have him again next year, Lord willing. For years we had Brother Jimmy Rose every year in February. But Brother Jimmy's beyond preaching now. His health is really failing. He's on dialysis every single night now. He's just to take those steroids until he's probably, he looks like he weighs about 350 pounds. I mean, he's just housebound. Brother Jimmy Rose was a faithful man of God for over 55 years on the mission field in Brazil and then preaching around the country. And so I really did pray. I asked the Lord because we're hoping to have other men come in. We'll have other meetings and have other men come in and so on. I think that's good. God laid Brian on my heart last year. And we had such a good meeting last year, and I told him, I said, you just plan on coming back about the same time? Next year we're going to do this again. And I did not. I need to think about, what, for example, the meeting down in Walterboro. A lot of the local men go down there. They've been going down there for years and years and years and years. And a couple of them called me yesterday and told me, said, we'd love to come, but we've already, you know, said we'd go down there, and they get rooms and all that. They pay for them and all that. So I understand that. So next year we'll try to work this thing around where more of the local folks, the local guys and churches can come and be with us as well. And I know that'll work out good. But we love Brother Brian, love his family. So Brother Brian, you come on to preach to us what the Lord's laid on your heart. It's been a joy to have you here, buddy. God bless you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't give it to you, did I? All right. Go ahead and do that. While you're doing that, I'll sing a little something. No, I'm not.
I'm ready.
You know, I hadn't scheduled that meeting next year yet.
All right. Carson, I'm coming back. I got a free pass. I got a free pass. You good? I'm ready. All right. Good? Take off. All right. Matthew 27, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 27. I can't tell you enough how much we've enjoyed being with you. And sure love Anchor Baptist Church. It's a blessing to us. And I feel like every night I try to come over and tell you thank you. And I go sit down. I think, man, I have not done a good enough job thanking you for how good you've been to us. And, of course, not everybody knows everything that you've done for us. But just the hotel and come in, there's waters and chips and fruit and baskets and just everything that we need. Those rooms. We live, this is the honest truth. We live better in that hotel than we do at our house over there. And so we're moving in next time we come. We're not going back home. We'll commute back and forth to Peachland. And we got two bathrooms in the hotel. And at home, we just got one bathroom. You try Miss Devin and Miss Julie on a Sunday morning with one bathroom and three other boys. It's rough around there. But y'all been kind to us. You've got a wonderful church. I would not say it. My wife knows. I would not get up here and say anything I don't mean. I love this church and the folks here. Some of the kindest people, givingest people, and lovingest people, and just real. I like people that are real and don't have to put on, don't have to be fake, and so much talent the Lord's blessed you with. And just tell you, it's a great thing going on here. I love you, Pastor, Miss Jude. They've been so good to us this week. And Brother Ed asked if we were going home tonight or in the morning. I said in the morning. He said good. He said drain them dry while you got it. And take it, and said, Preacher Rick dry while you got him. I felt that way this week. Y'all taking care of us at lunchtime and supper time. And feeding six of us is not that's not an easy thing to do. And you've been so kind to us, and we love you. And I'm thankful that we know each other. Before we get to go to heaven, we get to know each other down here. Anyway, I sure love you. Let's all stand. I love Brother Jimmy Rose, too. He was talking about him. God so used him in my life. But when I just gotten saved, and I can't tell all that. We'll keep you too late. But I'm telling you, I love men of God, especially like that, gave their lives on the backside of nowhere. Nobody, you know, a lot of people knew, we knew about him, but this world don't know about Jimmy Rose. This world has no idea who Jimmy Rose is, and Harold Seitler is, and Steve Krauts, and Rick Kirchinger's, and you could just go on around the room. But thank God there's a God in heaven that knows who we are. Amen. It's a privilege to serve with you. I want to talk about that. Matthew 27. I want to read this I'm trying to be cautious with time, but I want to read this because I believe it's important. But let's pick up. Let's don't read all this. Let's look at verse number 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? He knew that for envy they had delivered him. And he was sat down on the judgment seat. His wife sent to him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? He said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? They cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. They had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, upon his head, a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Spit on him, spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. After that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, would not drink. The Bible says in verse 35 that they crucified him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you again. Thank you again for the great honor, Lord, the privilege to be in your house. Lord, to be around your people, to have your word. Lord, to be able to meet with you. Lord, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, all that he did on that cross. Lord, how he was beaten and bruised and battered. Lord, how he was crucified. Lord, how he was scourged, how he was mocked. And Lord, he did it for us, and we want to thank you for that. Lord, thank you for sending him. And Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. You've been so good to us this week. Lord, thank you for working in our hearts. And Lord, tonight, I pray that we leave out of here revived, God. Please, like preacher said, don't let us slip back into this the same old living. God, help us to really work hard and labor and strive and beg you for help, Lord. Lord, we so need that. God, you've got to live through us. Lord, we cannot live the Christian life. Lord, it's impossible for us to do that on our own. Lord, you have to do that through us. So I ask you, please help us to do that. Lord, please help us to leave out of here tonight, Lord, with that in our soul, Lord, that we want to please you and serve you all the days of our life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I want to point out this with the Lord. As he's dying on the cross, as he's going to Calvary, the whole story, Jesus Christ was a servant. And the Bible says it over there in Philippians chapter number 2. You don't turn there. But it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." The Bible says in Hebrews 2 that he made himself a little lower than the angels. God Almighty stepped out of heaven in all the glory, and he made himself a little lower than the angels. The Bible says in Psalms 22, he says, "I am a worm and a no man." Jesus Christ was willing to get as low as he could get, be a servant for me and you. He lowered himself. He was lowly and got as low as he could. And the Bible says we're supposed to follow him. We're to follow his example that he led in being a servant. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 16, and you don't have to turn there neither, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Well, in the story that we just read in verse number 32, there's a man that took up Jesus' cross. There's a man who took the cross of Jesus Christ and he put it on his back and he bore the cross of Christ for a period of time. I've heard it said many ways, and we don't know because the Bible don't tell exactly. But I think it happened a lot like it happened with Isaac and Abraham. I think that Abraham, remember he had some lads with him, and they helped carry that wood and carry that stuff a certain point. And they got to the base of that mound, or they got to a certain point, and Abraham took the load off the boys and put it on his own son, Isaac. The Bible says in John that Jesus bore his own cross. So I believe that Simon, I've heard people say Simon was lifting the back end and that made it heavier. Maybe. But I believe Simon was the one that carried it to a certain point. And then they took that cross. They just got through scourging Jesus. They just got through putting that crown of thorns back on him and the purple robe, and they mocked him. That's when they grabbed Simon. I believe he carried it to a certain point. And then they took the cross off of him and threw it on Jesus' back. And thank God Jesus carried his own cross. Now, let's say he bore his own cross, and John, he took and carried his own cross. Listen, he would never ask you to do something he didn't do. He didn't have somebody carry it all the way, but Simon took the cross, and he bore that upon his back. So Simon's a servant. Simon, in this story, is a servant. And I thought about this thing of a servant, I want to talk about this just a little bit. That when we leave out of here tonight, I guess my desire tonight is, I sure would that everybody's here tonight would just leave out of here and want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ far above anything else. Far above anything else. Everything we got to do, everywhere we got to go, all the things we got to take care of. And I'm telling you, I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I want to serve Him. And I found out there's some marks of a servant. There's some things, if you trace it, I believe you'll find in everybody that serves the Lord Jesus Christ. There in the Old Testament, if a man was a servant and he worked for his master, and he had the option to go after he worked for so long, and he could leave. But the Bible says those masters back then, they weren't what our history books portray all the time. A lot of times those masters, they were good to their servants. They'd give them a wife, give them a home, raise their family there. They just work. They give them good wages. The Bible says that servant got to the end of that term where he had to serve. He got to the place where he was able to go free. He'd say, no, I'm not going because I love my master. I mean, he's been good to me. He's taken care of me and he's given me my wife and given me the life that I have. Although I can go free, I'm not going free. I'm just going to stick in here, serve him. And they'd take him and they'd put him up against that doorpost and they'd drive that all through his ear. That was the mark of a servant that said, I'm doing this because I love my master. And I'm just telling you tonight, if you're saved, man, you can live any kind of life you want to live. You can. You want to do anything. Listen, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. I'm just telling you, the greatest joy is just when you get to the point where you just know there's a God in heaven that treats us so good and provides everything we need and just gives us everything that we're searching for anyway, that we don't want to go to those places. We don't want to drink those things. We don't want to spend time doing those other things because we just love our master because he first loved us. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, with a servant, there's some things just all the way across the board. Every servant I've ever known has some things in common. Make sense? Get verse 32. Bible says, and they came out. Let me show you one. They found the man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and the Bible says, him they compelled to bear the cross. Simon had to be compelled. That means that when they were getting ready to put that cross on somebody, Simon did not raise his hand, volunteer for this thing. Those Roman soldiers had to urge him to get up underneath that cross. They had to pressure him to get up underneath that cross. They may have even grabbed him, put him underneath that cross. But you know what? That's the same for every servant that's ever lived. You know, it's unnatural. It's unnatural to live a life for others. It's natural to live for yourself. It's natural to live a comfortable life. It's natural just to take it easy and try to ride that thing out. What every servant has inside of them, they have something that urges them and presses them and drives them and compels them to go and serve others instead of themselves. It's unnatural to serve everybody else. It's unnatural. In fact, the Bible says in order to be a servant, we've got to die daily. We've got to die daily because it's just natural to live a life for yourself. Natural, man, when you wake up in the morning, not going to think about anybody but you. Going to think about what I need to eat, what I need to do today, what's on my list to do, what's on my list to buy, what's on my list to watch, What do we need in our house? What do we need to pay this bill? What do we need to do that? And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll live every day thinking about you and that house and what you got to do. But I'm telling you, thank God there's something inside of us that urges us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's important to get in that Bible. You know what that Bible does? Urges you to live for somebody else. That's why it's good to come to the house of God and listen to preaching. You know why? Because preaching urges you to live for somebody. Listen, if you just sit to yourself, this home church crowd that wants to sit at home and they love the Lord, I'm telling you, sit at home by yourself, that natural man will start to take over. That natural man will start to lead you and you'll be living for yourself. You need a place like this. You need to come in here and see somebody. Listen, not everybody's going to come in feeling like serving the Lord, but somebody is. Somebody's going to be excited about reading that. But you might, not everybody's going to be excited all at the same time, but somebody is. So when you're the one that's down, you come in this thing, you see old brother over there, and he's excited about witnessing, excited about church, excited about singing, and something inside of you starts to urge you and press you and starts driving you and says, let me get back to it again, start serving the Lord again. That's how it works. He's to be compelled. The Holy Ghost compels us to do the work of a servant. Well, that's number one. Here's number two. Bible says that these Roman guards had stripped Jesus. They planted a crown of thorns on Jesus. They put a reed in his right hand. They mocked him. They spit on him. They smote him. And these guys hated Jesus. You know who Simon was serving? Technically, I mean, if you want to be literal, was serving people that hated Jesus. You know what a true servant does? Serves people that hates our Savior. Right. Serves people that hates God. Serves people that don't care about God. I guarantee if I had you raise your hand, there's people here carrying burdens tonight for people that could care less about Jesus. Right. I mean, there's this woman we've been trying to witness to in the hotel. And today, God bless her soul, she was trying to blame God for things happening in her life. I mean, if I was to take that personal, she's blaming my Lord and Savior. You know, she don't care nothing about the Lord. But we try to be long-suffering. We try not to come back and yell at her and say, bless God, don't talk about him. Like, come back and just try to let her see that, and there's a good God in heaven. Think of all the good days you have. Think of all the good. How come you don't give him credit for the good days? How come when everything bad happens in the world, you got to blame him for kids being abused and blaming for people dying? Why don't you give him credit for kids living? Why don't you give him credit for every home that stayed together? Why don't you give him credit for everybody that does have good health? I'm just saying, this thing of being a servant, man, it's hard because you're trying to serve people that don't want Jesus Christ a part of their lives. You're out there try witnessing. People don't care about Jesus. So there's some people you're trying to win to the Lord, and they're not even here tonight. They don't care about his house. They don't care about preaching. What Simon was doing, serving people that didn't care about Jesus Christ. Then I noticed also, the Bible says in verse 32, that they compelled him to bear, look at this, his cross. He was doing it for people that didn't care, but technically, I mean, I guess this is technical. You know who he's really bearing that cross for? He was bearing it for the Lord. He was bearing it for the Lord. I mean, he was carrying it for them because that's just what he had to do. But really, if you look at it, he was bearing that cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what we do. We're bearing that cross. At the end of the day, what we're doing, we're just taking orders from our master. The Bible says, he says, love your enemies. Is that right? He said, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. So at the end of the day, what we're doing it for, we're doing it for everybody. What we're doing is for everybody. But what we're doing is not for everybody. It's for one. We're trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Just obey our master. What a servant does. He has to be compelled. He has to serve men that hate Jesus. I want to bring this up. You might not be interested in it, but I think it's very interesting. He says, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene. Well, that's important because if you look up Cyrene, I want to show you this just quickly if we can do it. Every time you see Cyrene in the Bible, it's an attachment to the church. Look at Acts. Hold your place. We can do this fast. Look at Acts 2. Let me show you something. Watch this. Acts chapter number 2. You know the story. This is Pentecost, verse 7. We're all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, or now that these all which speak Galileans, speaking in tongues. Verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya about, is that right there? Cyrene. These people from Cyrene, you know, some people say Simon was a Libyan, he was an African. Well, maybe he was, but maybe he was a Jew that moved from Jerusalem down to Cyrene. The day of Pentecost, they were preaching. All these Jews from different places came, and all these people from different places came. And one of those groups of people were Cyrene. You know what they're doing? They're at the Feast of the Passover. You know what they were doing? They were around believers. You know what I noticed about every servant? He's attached to the church. I've never met one servant of God, true servant of God, that didn't have a love in his heart and attachment for the church. Your pastor's kind, and he's right in everything he said. People got to work, and listen, you got to pay your bills, and you have to, listen, Andrew's got to be called out. Some people aren't here tonight. That's life. There's some people, man, I'm telling you, they'd work overtime to make an extra dollar, to have a bigger car and a bigger house and bigger property. And I'm just telling you, their devotion for the house of God isn't what it should be. You mark a person who can't be faithful to God's house, and I'll show you a person who's not serving the Lord Jesus Christ the best they can. Servants of God, I'm telling you, do everything they can to get to God's house. Be around God's people. I'd show you, I'm not going to do all this because so much time. Separated Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13. You know who was there? Cyrenians. Antioch, the capital of Christianity, was Jerusalem. Moved to Antioch. That's where they had where they are first called Christians. You know who was there? Cyrenians. Remember when Stephen was persecuted and stoned to death? You know one of the groups that helped stone Stephen? Cyrenians. They're on the wrong side of that. But listen, they had a zeal for God. Didn't Saul have a zeal for God? Didn't Saul, listen, when Saul was out there murdering those Christians, he thought he was doing right according to the Bible. Cyrenians, they had a zeal for the Lord. They had a zeal for God. Had a zeal to be around God's people. I'm just telling you tonight, man, if you don't have an attachment to this thing and hear every time the door is open, try to be, listen, you might have to miss, but it ought to break your heart to miss church. It's been a few times along the way. I've been sick. I've been in the hospital before, and on a Wednesday night, I think it was, maybe it was a Sunday morning one time I had to be with that Crohn's and be in the hospital. Now, I'm just telling you, it don't make me nothing. Don't make me a better Christian. Don't make me nothing. But I'll tell you, the hospital bed, I sat there and I cried because I wanted to be in God's house. If you're going to be a servant of God, I'm telling you, you cannot be the servant you're supposed to be without an attachment to the church. True, I believe it's in here. I believe it's in there. Well, Christ loved the church. Anyway, Mark, look at Mark chapter number 15. Let me say this. Mark 15. Well, a servant has to be compelled. You're going to have to get compelled. Your flesh ain't good enough to keep you going. You got to read that Bible. You got to fellowship with believers. You got to come to church. You got to hear preach. Listen, I said this the first night, I believe it was. The best thing you could do with that spare time and that out of time, find you some preaching. Put preaching in your house. Put preaching in your car. Get your CDs or MP3s or flash drives. I don't know what it is. We listened to a record this week. I find it somewhere. Wait, what is the record, didn't we? A big old record. Got an 8-track player up there somewhere, I think, but we didn't get it out. And get you some preaching. I'm telling you, it'll urge you and compel you and keep. If you don't, I'm just telling you, you're going to start floating back downstream again. You got to have somebody compelling you. You're not going to make it. You're not strong. Our flesh can't do this thing, but I'm telling you, there's a Holy Ghost inside of us that uses the Word of God to compel us to keep on going. You read about that church in Acts, man. They were just compelled by one another every day. They were fellowshipping together. That was their craft. Listen, all this thing about coming here and having service and spending all your extra time with people that don't love God, I'm just telling you, you're making a bad mistake. So, Chad, I'm telling you, this ought to be your people. This ought to be your people. I'll be people you talk on the phone with, and text, and email, and talk to. Once you get through with work and all you, this ought to be your crowd to keep you going for Jesus Christ. Be compelling. Got to serve those that hate the Lord. That happens to every servant. Got to be attached to the church. Look at this in Mark 15. Let me show you this. Look at verse number 21. Mark 15, verse 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, pass by. Coming out of the country, father of Alexander and Rufus, bear his cross. Different book, same story. The Bible says here, watch this, it says something different, verse 21. And they compel, it says this thing, one Simon. One Simon. I tell you something, all the way across the board with every service, every bit of God. This thing sure can get lonely. Just one Simon. I know Simon was in a crowd. And there were tons of people all around him. But I guarantee old Simon, when he was underneath that cross, he sure didn't feel lonely. He was the only one underneath it. Think about that starry crowd. That's the same crowd our Lord went by and fed. That's their family. I guarantee some of them men saying, crucify him. I guarantee some. The Bible says if the whole world of books were written, there wouldn't be enough books to write all that the Lord did for those people. Not enough pages on the earth to record everything that Jesus did in those 3.5 years. I guarantee you there were mamas and they say, crucify him. And they had their little girl sitting right there beside him because of Jesus. He probably touched her and touched this family and helped this family and healed this family. I'm telling you, you know what there should have been? There should have been a line wrapped around the world saying, I'll be the one to carry that cross. Let me have that cross. Let me help my Savior. Let me help him that's been good to me. And you couldn't find but one to get underneath that load. I'm telling you, Simon felt lonely, but all alone. And I'm telling you, being a servant of Jesus Christ, man, we're going to feel alone. You know, you're not always around people that love the Lord. You work today. If you're blessed, you got a brother at work you can talk to about the Lord. But not everybody has that. And even if you do, you're limited on what you can do and what you can say and how long you can talk. And there's only so much fellowship you can have at the workplace. And you'll be honest with your employer around them guys and they cuss and take God's name in vain and talk about how they partied this past weekend. And look, I'll tell you, I work with a bunch of rednecks from Gastonia, North Carolina. I'm telling you, all of them married and checking out this girl and looking at this woman making comments. I'm telling you, saved man, that's a lonely place. Got Jesus in your heart. Think about people going to hell and everybody else around you. Think about alcohol and drugs and fornicating and adultery. I'm just trying to tell you, being a servant, it's going to be lonely. And not just out there, but sometimes in here, it's lonely. That's your pastor. Not everybody's going to have the same burden as you have. Sometimes you're going to come in, man, and just be ready to go and burdened about things and you talk to somebody and you know when you're trying to tell them that burden, they're just not getting it. I'm sure some of you preachers and teachers got Sunday school lessons, got something on your heart, and you can't wait to get up there and give it. And then as you're giving it, you look, you think, man, they're just not getting it like I got it. It's just the way it is. You know what that is? That's lonely. Sometimes it's a spouse, man. Sometimes you just want to keep going, and then your spouse don't want to go, or your family don't want to go, mom and dad don't want to go, kids don't want to go, daddy trying to wreck the home, and the family won't follow. I'm just telling you, being a servant, it's a lonely place. Not everybody's going to be on the same page. And then here's the worst. Sometimes even the ones that you want served beside and that you serve God with, and you see their heart get hurt, and you see them start to fit out, and if you know it, they're gone out the door. Okay, that's a lonely feeling. If you invest your life in them, and you beg God to help their family about their children, and just God and beg God to help them, then it's because they take something wrong, or they walk out that door, and you know, you're thinking, it's a lonely place. He said also in the verse number 21, they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by. Then notice this one, coming out of the country. The Bible says they were coming out of the country. So that means that Simon wasn't in Libya, obviously, but he wasn't in Jerusalem. He was just in between. And I'm telling you what Simon was here. He was real uncomfortable. He was not in a place where he felt at home. In Libya, he felt at home because that was his people. In Jerusalem, where they just took the feast of the Passover, I believe that's why he was there. I believe he felt at home. But when he wasn't in Jerusalem and inside the city, and he wasn't at home, he was just out there in no man's land. He wasn't in a comfortable position. You know, really, listen to me. That's what being a servant, if you're going to be a servant of God, that's, you're going to be there a lot. You're going to be involved in things and having to do things that you just don't really feel like you can do it. You don't feel comfortable doing it. You don't feel like that's your thing. Man, I'm just saying, if you're going to be a servant of God, you don't get to pick that. It's this thing of being a servant. Listen to me. I'm not going to spend long here, but I want you to hear me. You don't get to pick and choose what you do. I mean, if you boys that want to preach, or us men that's preach, when we surrendered our lives, we did not surrender to be a pastor. You don't get to pick that. You don't get to just surrender. I'm going to the mission field. You don't get to pick that. If it was up to me, my family would not be in the United States. It's just the truth, man. When God dealt with my heart, no idea. I said, Lord, I'm ready to go to the mission field. You say, well, you went to Peach, that's the mission field. I'm a pastor. That's different than a missionary. What you get to do one thing. You get to surrender everything you got. So that's your choice. Until you do that, you're not surrendered. That's something. I can remember early on getting on my face in my house and saying, God, if you want to go to the mission field, I'll go. I remember sitting in a meeting in Jimmy Rose Street, and the way he preached, I realized for the first time, I don't get to pick what I get to do. And you know what we do? Listen, I'm not being mean, because God thank everybody that clean. God thank everybody that mows grass. God thank everybody that helps keep up. If you don't take care of the house of God, you want to take care of the house of God. So that's what I'm saying. But that does not alleviate you from doing what God told you to do. That thing of go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, that is not an option. It's not like, okay, Lord, I would, but you know, I got my, you know, I'm mowing the grass. Well, thank God you're mowing the grass, but God said go ye into all the world. It's a command. And I'm telling you, here's what people do. They say, well, I'm just not cut out for... I'm not cut out to preach. I get nervous knocking on doors. I've been street preaching for a while now, and every time right before it's time to preach, sometimes I cower out and wait another 2 minutes. So you know what a servant is? He's just not about his comfort. It's not about the things that he likes doing sometimes, not the things that just he enjoys doing sometimes. Listen, a servant don't get to, you know what a servant does? He just does whatever the master says. Imagine having you a servant around your house, and you're paying him, and you're asking him to work, say, I want you to mow the grass, and then you come home and the grass is about this tall, and what'd you do all day? Well, I wash the dishes. Well, that's a blessing, but what happened to my grass? You know what I'm saying? Well, if the Lord told you to go, well, you know when you get to heaven. Well, Lord, I vacuumed, weed-eated. I was a good daddy. Well, you don't say, well, that's a blessing. I'm glad, but what happened? How come you didn't carry tracts when you went out? See what I'm saying? Listen, some people in here, you could teach, witness, out tracts, hold a sign, go door knock. You say, well, I just can't knock on a door. Well, you know what a servant, I'm just saying what a servant is. He's just someone that says, you know what, I probably can't do it real well, but my master tells me, but I'm just going to give it my best. Is that something? Help us. You want to preach, or maybe be a missionary, maybe want to be a pastor. You don't get to pick none of that stuff. You might want to go on the foreign field. God might stick you an hour away from your house. There's some men, I got the idea, all I want to do is be a pastor. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be that. You can do that, but what if God wants you a missionary? I'm just saying, a servant of God, he says, Lord, here am I. Just send me wherever you want to send me. I ain't much of this, but if you need me to teach, I'll do it. I ain't much of this, but if they're going to have visitation, I'm going to show up. I'm not much on this, but man, if I could just get in some, I can't sing, but man, if they could use me somewhere, I'll stand up there and just fill a seat. Understand what I'm saying? Man, nobody likes getting in. Who, does anybody in here besides? Only people I know like getting in front of people, people are proud. It makes me nervous, man. I'm telling God heading back there in that Old Testament, Moses kept making excuses after excuses. I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm telling you, God's anger was going. God looked down here and said, man, I can you do that. But you sit there, so much thinking pride. I'll be a servant, don't you? I ain't good at half of what I do, but he said, no, I'm going to go give it a shot. This seems like if we give it a shot, there's a God hitting this kind of steps in sometimes. And you walk around, you say, man, I didn't do too good there. Before you know it, God, you something you said, you only know you said. God put you in Columbia. God put you in Michigan. God put you in New York. God put you on an island. Who in the world? I tell you, I wouldn't want to stand in front of nobody all days of my life. And say, God's let me go places to preach. And I just tell you, God will take care of us if we'll just say, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. I'm telling you, God will bless you beyond your imagination. We serve a good master, don't we? It's uncomfortable, man. Being a servant is uncomfortable, and it's lonely. Well, I will show you this. I could have. It says in the same verse, this is about being uncomfortable. You just think about this quickly. I've done it. Verse 21 says, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus. That means that Simon was urged and compelled to do something for the Lord. There was two little boys watching. It's interesting, ain't it? I wonder what ever happened to them boys that Simon was. And I ain't doing it. I'm just telling you, we got little ones watching that one. And I don't know if it's the same Rufus, but you know the Bible. Over there in Romans 16, the Bible says salute Rufus. How many Rufus are in the world? Probably. It says he was chosen of the Lord. Chosen of the Lord. I mean, God used him. I don't know how he used him. I suppose he just went out and got used like everybody else. Just went to people about Jesus. I wonder how his testimony started. This is the same Rufus. I'm sure somewhere in that testimony he had to talk about Jesus at the cross. I would probably say, it's probably safe to say, old Rufus did. I remember one day, my daddy, he took us to feast like he always does. We just went to church like we always did. My daddy got compelled to do something. He didn't run away. He just got underneath that load. He carried that cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think God used that boy. I'm just saying it is important to make sure you do everything God asks of God. One more place. Look at Luke. Well, not one more, but look at Luke 23. My people told me it's a lie. I say one more place. It's my place right here. Father, forgive me because I didn't know what it is. Luke 23. Look at verse number 26. Bible says, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Here's another thing that every servant knows. There's not a lot of publicity. It's the only three verses in all the Bible of the man that carried the cross of Christ. To carry the cross of Jesus Christ is a very big deal. I mean, I don't know of many things that would be more personal than to see. Bible says that Simon was behind Jesus and he's behind the guards. Simon's carrying that cross and here's Jesus. He's done been scourged. He had the crown of thorns on him and they took that robe and ripped it back off. I mean, you know the Savior's bleeding. And here's Simon carrying that cross and no doubt he's looking at the Savior as he walks. I don't know of many more things that would be that important in the Bible and yet he gets three verses. But that tells me if you're going to be a servant of God, you can go ahead and count on it. There's not a lot of publicity. Not ever going to be very popular. Not going to be well known. People got in their minds that these preachers are real well known. Come on, man. We're not. Nobody's well known. We're well known in our circle, but you go to any other denomination or the rest of the world, nobody knows the people that we know. Harold Seitler to the world, I'm just telling you, is nothing. To us, he's a giant, a hero. The world don't know who he is. I heard one preacher, he preaches more meetings than anybody I know. And he says he goes to these places, everybody knows his name, they buy his books and all this stuff. And he'll go through the Atlanta airport with 100,000 people. He'll walk from terminal to terminal and won't one person ever stop and say anything to him. They have no idea who he is. Here's what happens if you're going to be a servant, you just break it down. But you might not. It's possible for you to go the rest of your life and never really get any type of name, any type of publicity. You might clean this church the rest of your life. Nobody might not outside these walls, might not ever know what you do for the Lord. You might go out there and pass out tracts and hold signs and knock doors. Name ain't never going to be in lights anywhere. But I just say there's no publicity. All I thought about, this is a blessing to me. At this time, I don't know of one single millionaire that lived. I don't know who the greatest athlete was. I don't know who the most beautiful woman was at this time. You know what the Bible says? There's a story of one man. God underneath the cross. We know his name and we're talking about him today. Is that something? I mean, I know Herod's king and I know Pilate's in charge. I know all that. But even God one day is going to say, I never knew you. This guy named Simon. Here we are all these years later and there's record of him and what he did. And I'm just saying, being a servant, you might not ever get a pat on the back. Pastor might not ever recognize you. Nobody outside these walls might not ever know you. But I'm telling you, it's better to serve the Lord and give your life to him and get underneath that cross. God's got a record, and one day, I'll tell you, he's going to reward us for everything that we do. I want to say this lastly here. The Bible says, I told you how it was, that Here's Simon, here's Jesus, here's people. You know what Simon had? He had the best seat in the house. When it comes to the crucifixion, carrying the cross, Simon had the best seat in the house. You know why? Because he knew exactly what Jesus wanted. When they took that cross off of him and put it on Christ, Simon was the only one that could say, I know what that feels like. I know what he's going through. But Paul said over here in Philippians 3, I think it's one time this week, he said that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection is as this, in the fellowship of his suffering. And to the natural man, you say the word suffer, and you think, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to have to go through anything like that. Just give me my life and just let me ride. But I'm telling you, the servants, true servants, they know every time that they go out there and maybe somebody mocks them, or somebody curses, somebody laughs at them. Maybe you try to hand them a track and they laugh at you or laugh that track or you know and reject you. You know what a servant gets? He gets the best understanding than anybody else of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on this earth. We get the fellowship with Jesus and his sufferings because we get just a little glimpse, a little idea of what Jesus went through. You know why you ought to go pass out tracts? Because you ought to know what it feels like to get rejected. Just so you can look up to heaven and say, Lord, I know they rejected you a whole lot more, but that sure don't feel good. Thank you for doing that for me. Oh, you go out there and just hold a sign and look like a dummy on the side of the road so people can curse at you and flip you off and stat you. I just tell you, there's been times we've been out there, and this don't mean I'm spiritual, but it's just the grace of God. There's been times people have said things to us and done things. I just tell you, brother, just in the middle of it, I just think of my Lord, thank you for everything that you went through. They spit at me one time, but Lord, they spit your face over and over and over. They cursed us one time going by, but Lord, they cursed you. I can't imagine how you were blasphemed. I'm just telling you, there's a fellowship that goes between a servant and the Lord Jesus. You will appreciate the cross. You'll appreciate his sufferings. You'll appreciate your salvation. You'll be thankful for Jesus for everything that he's done. But you've got to get busy being a servant. Here's what happens if you don't. Look at Mark. Let me show you something real quick. Look at Mark. Look at Mark 8. We're going to finish in Mark, all right? My word. Mark, if you see the Bible, you know that Mark portrays Christ as a servant. It says in Mark 8, verse number, get this 37 quickly. 8:37. Jesus went out and his disciples to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. By the way, he asked his disciples, saying to him, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. He saith to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith to him, thou art the Christ. If you read commentaries and try to figure out what all these guys say, a lot of them will say that Peter probably helped Mark write the book of Mark. And he very well may have, because it seems that Peter fills in a lot of details maybe we wouldn't know had Peter not told him about it. A lot of times you see Peter talking. A lot of times you see Peter, it talks about what he did, okay? Charged it, they should tell no man of him. He began to teach them that some man must suffer many things, be rejected of elders, of chief priests, scribes, be killed, after 3 days rise again. And he spake and said openly, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Watch this. And when he had turned about, looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also the Son of Man be ashamed, and he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now turn to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. Watch this. Look at verse 65. The Bible says, some began to spit on him, to cover his face, and to buffet him, and say to him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with palms of their hands. It's Peter. See how he's talking about Peter? I think Peter had something to do with this book, too. It makes sense, because Peter's just mentioned over and over and over and over and over. If that's true, watch this. As Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, he looked upon him and said, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not. Neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch in the cock crew. The maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. Peter denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by again said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Peter's giving account, possibly to Mark, about what happened at that denial. You with me? So can you see, if this is true, and Spurgeon said a lot of this too, if this is true, that means Peter's sitting there telling Mark, the what happened there and how he denied him. And you know how that story works. But imagine Peter still sitting with Mark. And now Mark's sitting there still writing the letter. And pick back up in chapter 15 and look at verse 16. 15:16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. See, I don't know if Peter would have known all this. And they called together the whole band and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees and worship him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Watch this. They compel one Simon of Cyrene. You know what Peter's name was? Well, it's Simon Peter. I wonder, here's a thought, if it wasn't like a dagger pierced in Peter's heart, that because he denied the Lord, that God had to reach over somewhere and grab another Simon and stick him underneath that cross to carry that cross that Simon Peter could. You say what you want the rest of Simon Peter's days. He had to think about that. Simon Peter could have easily been the one that got underneath that cross. If he'd have stuck with Jesus, he could have been the one to get under that cross. But he didn't. And don't you think it's interesting that God grabbed another Simon and put him underneath that cross to carry that? Because Simon Peter was nowhere to be found. I just want to leave with this thought I've done. I wonder if Simon Peter sat there and thought, man, what I could have been a part of, what I could have been known for. That could have been me that done that. I wasn't willing to go all the way. I understand this world don't mean nothing, but one day when we stand before Jesus, it's going to mean everything. Before Christ one day, this life, it's going to mean everything. That first pastor said, man, people are going to be ashamed of it. They'll be ashamed of it. I want to encourage you tonight, man. Get in. And everything you can do, you ought to be involved in. Everything you can be a part of. Everything you can help out on. You ought to find things. I'm just saying, there's no greater joy than Christ than everything. I'm sure at the time, old Simon, I'm sure he was underneath that cross, he thought, man, this thing's rough. It's lonely. It's hard. It's difficult. But I guarantee right now, he's glad he did it. I'm telling you, ministry stuff. Your pastor probably never had nights like this, but I'm telling you, this thing does get difficult sometimes. You just think, man, I don't know if I'm doing right. I don't know if I'm wasting time. I don't know. Then I remember one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we're not going to look back and say, when I stand before the Lord, I want to look back and say, boy, I sure am glad I hung in there. I gave him everything I got while I had. I want to encourage those that are serving, keep serving. Don't you blow up one bit. You just keep on plugging away, finding more to do. I'll tell you what, we ought to give our lives to be witnesses, serving the Lord and your pastor. Around this place, let that be your life. Let that all the stuff. Let being a servant of Christ, let that be best life. Best life. I'm gonna pray. Let's all stand.
Finish this thing up. Father, I love you, Lord. I sure ask you to please help us tonight. Lord, I know in this church there's a lot of people who are serving you, and we're probably giving everything they have, and I pray that you bless them for it. Lord, I think about some of these new converts, and Father, I ask you please put something in their souls that want to do as much as they can for you on this earth, and Lord, it sure will be worth it one day. Help us to be faithful, Lord, to serve you, Lord, to stay faithful in your house, and Lord, faithful to witness. Lord, put tracks back in our pockets again. And Lord, go out there and witness to our coworkers, Lord, our neighbors, our family. Lord, please put in our hearts to be your servant. I ask you to do that. Lord, through all the loneliness and all the trials and all the troubles, Lord, it's been worth every bit of it thus far. And I sure thank you for it. Lord, thank you for letting us serve you. Lord, you've been good to us, Lord. You've taken care of us. You've provided us so many things. And Lord, we ask you, please help us stay faithful to your work. Lord, help us to stay faithful, bear the marks of a servant. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name.
We're going to sing a verse of a song in just a moment, but the altar is open. If you feel like you haven't been the kind of servant that God wants you to be, now's a good time to kind of get that thing right and just say, Lord, I've missed the mark a little, but I'm wanting to get right with God, and I want to serve the Lord the best I can. We don't all do it the same way, but you can serve the Lord somehow, some kind of way. Everyone's got a gift or a talent you can use for the Lord. So I want you to come to this altar. You cannot kneel. The front seat's available. Just get down there and just say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I believe God will honor that. Come on, Brother Tim. Let's sing together.